Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Oh, nothing like a little Stones. Yeah, paint it black. All right, we are back. It's our second hour, everybody. We roll all the way until 6 o'clock. Cody Peck will join us roughly at about 5:20. Cody and Derek have a great website. It's called BC Divide. Cody is the Iowa State guy. Derek is the Iowa guy. So you can go to that website and get information on both schools. It's really good, and it's a lot of fun. Speaking of which, Trent, Iowa's got a game coming up against the dreaded Grambling State. Are you excited?
Oh, I am just going absolutely nuts here in anticipation for the third consecutive 300-plus RPI opponent for the Hawkeyes. Another terrible team, another team from the SWAC. Jimmy B, I've told you before, if I was ever an athletic director, and I never will be, of a Division I basketball program at the Power 5 level, but one of my first things I would tell all my coaches, I don't care how you're rebuilding, I don't care how you're, well, I do care how you're scheduling, I do freak out about that a bit, but you're not scheduling SWAC and MEAC teams because consistently, year after year after year, they're number 31 and 32 in the RPI. The teams are dreadful. It hurts your non-conference strength of schedule. Yet here we are. Here come the Tigers from Grambling.
Let me lay this little statistical nugget on you right now, my brother from another mother. The SWAC teams this year are 1-21. One win, 21 losses so far this season. Mm-hmm. The only SWAC win was Jackson State, who beat a D3 school that won only 4 games last year.
Sounds about right.
There you go.
Pretty much exactly as I would anticipate it would go, but yeah.
I saw your tweet earlier today when somebody was tweeting about, hey, they're 2-0 and they're going to be 3-0 and they're going to get a 5 or a 6, and you're going, whoa, 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 slow down. And I go back to what you always talked about on this show, and that is if it comes to push come to shove with some other team, instead of getting a 6 or a 5 or a 7, they're going to get a 10 or 11 because of what we just discussed with that lousy RPI.
Well, I don't think it'll be that big of a difference. It could be the difference between being a 6 seed and an 8 seed. It could be the difference between, I don't see them moving down if they're 23-8 and all of a sudden they're a 10 seed because of their non-conference strength of schedule. I don't think it'll be that big of a difference, but it is a difference, Jimmy B. The last two times I was in the NCAA tournament, they went in as 7 seeds. They beat Davidson 1 year, beat Temple the next, but we saw what happened in the round of 32. They were blitzed by Gonzaga. They were knocked out by Villanova, who went on to win a national championship. That matchup in the round of 32, it does matter. We see that there is usually, year after year, a pretty big cut between the top 8 teams usually and everybody else. And if you're a 7 seed, you're in the 8-9 game, you're playing a 1 seed. We've seen this so many times in the past, Jim. Iowa in the second round, who they've had to play. You know, that was always the knock against Dr. Tom Davis. It was getting knocked out. He could get you to the tournament, but then he'd win a game and get knocked out in the second round. Well, part of that was because they played Duke in the second round. They played Kentucky in the second round. They were playing teams like that. Those teams aren't easy to beat in the NCAA tournament.
No, they're not. And it all has to do, and you and I have had this discussion, it all goes with seeding and matchups and how important that is in the NCAA tournament. And for some reason, I ask again for your help on this, I don't understand. I can see playing 2 bye games, but not, what do they have, 5 or 6 bye games in here?
Well, it's not even the amount of bye games, because you look across college basketball, a lot of teams have this number. The problem,
yes,
though, is the number of teams that are projected to be bottom, 300-plus teams.
300-plus, yes.
Now, right now, you look at Chicago State. Guess what their RPI is right now? Chicago State, the team that they played in the first game, Just take a guess at the Cougars.
I'll say 325.
No, you would be way off on that one because I'd guess the same thing. Right now, Chicago State, as I bring it back up here, is at 63 in the RPI. Now, Chicago State has played two games, both road games, and both at Iowa and Purdue. So that's why Purdue, right now. But you take it a step further and you look at Ken Pomeroy, who has projections and predictions. This is more a predictive measure. Chicago State is 334 in the country.
Wow.
334. That's a problem. So
Didn't Purdue beat them by like 70? I think they did.
It was a lot, yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible.
What 11-42.
Woo-hoo!
Though they bounced
back. What I said.
They bounced back last night and they knocked off Silver Lake 101-53. What is Silver Lake and how bad are they?
Is that a high school? Is that a high school?
I don't even know. I don't even know. Regardless, absolutely ridiculous.
Wow.
We'll see if it turns. It very well could be. Here's the thing, Jim. If Iowa goes out and they go down to the Cayman Islands Classic and they beat Louisiana Lafayette and they beat, whoever it is, South Dakota State or Wyoming, and then upset Cincinnati in the championship game, and they beat Virginia Tech, and they beat Penn State. And all this is this is all moot. If we're talking about a team good enough to be in the top three in the Big Ten and challenge Michigan State, Purdue, Minnesota, all this is for naught because their record will be that good, and they'll have enough good wins to go along with it. But if that isn't the case, that is a concern. And that's why this continues to bother me. And it's not like this is a one-off thing. It's not like just this year I was scheduling that way. If that was the case, no, I'd be fine. I wouldn't have a problem with it, but it's been year after year that they've done it. A year ago, sure, makes complete sense. Very young team, didn't know what Fran was going to have. I understood the schedule a year ago. But a couple years back, you look back at that team, there's no reason for them to go out and play the non-conference schedule that they played in terms of bye games. And this is what I again come back to year after year when we talk about this. Playing one, two of those garbage teams, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But they played that season where you had Mike Gesell, Jared Utoff. You had a group coming back that you thought was going to be very good. You play Coppin State, who's awful every year. You play Gardner-Webb, a bottom 200 team. You play Missouri-Kansas City, who's awful. You play Western Illinois. Oof. Drake, you can't control that one. I get it. Tennessee Tech, year after year after year. It's just the sheer number. And this year, it's even a step further because we're not just talking about a couple of teams that are in the 200s. We're talking about four or five teams that are in the 300s. It hurts the non-conference strength of schedule, and it takes away any wiggle room that Iowa, if they do need it. If an injury crops up, if Bohannon can't go for a week or two and they drop a game or two that they shouldn't, that's what it takes away from. But I'm off my soapbox, Jimmy B. You got me going
on,
good
Grambling. One.
Congratulations. You got me going on that. So, hey, we've talked a lot of college football today and just about how bad the slate is this weekend. The NFL, we actually have a good Thursday night game tomorrow and a pretty decent Sunday slate. I'm actually, for the first time this year, I can remember, more excited about the NFL slate than I am the college football.
Wow. Now that is excitement for you.
Yeah.
Look, tomorrow night it's a good one with the Steelers in action. And look, Tennessee is no slouch right now. So from that standpoint, that's a pretty good Thursday night game.
Right.
I mean, I would take that in a heartbeat. It's better than, some of the other games that we have been scheduled on Thursday night. But this is pretty good. You've got the Rams and Minnesota.
Right.
So that's
huge.
That's a dandy game. Yes. That's a dandy game. It really is. That's really good. So from that standpoint, I'll look forward to that. You got New England at Oakland, and the night game is Philly at Dallas. No Ezekiel Elliott. He's not going to do his thing. He decided that he wasn't going to file another appeal, so he's going to sit six games. So and Atlanta, Seattle is the Monday night game, Trent. So. Yeah, this is going to be a good weekend for the NFL.
You know, I had an opportunity to make my way up to U.S. Bank Stadium for the first time this weekend for that Rams-Vikings game. I had a chance.
Uh-huh.
My dad's going up there. He's taking both my stepbrother and his son, my nephew. They're going up there. So my stepdad, he's a huge Rams fan. Rams fan since a kid. So he's excited. He's like, hey, let's go up. Well, I'm not a Vikings fan. And when they asked a month and a half ago, I'm like, I don't want to watch that garbage. I haven't watched the Rams. Plus, as you know, Jimmy B, my wife's a big Vikings fan. I'd feel bad getting up to U.S. Bank Stadium before she did. I'd feel a little bit bad about that. So I decided to turn it down. Plus, I'm going to be in Cedar Falls. It's on Friday calling the championship game. So I just had to bow out. And now both teams are 7-2. And I say, oh, what a moron I am. I could be in the building for that one. I'll be sitting on my couch and having to watch it on TV.
You know what people were saying after the first year for Jared Goff? Remember, he was picked number one. Oh, he's a bust. Mm-hmm. He'll never be an NFL quarterback. And here the guy is lighting it up. All he needed was they brought in Andrew Whitworth, the great left tackle, offensive tackle, to protect him. They went out and got wide receivers for him. You got a healthy Gurley now as the running back. And look, their defense has improved. Guess who's coaching the defense? Our guy, Bum Phillips. Or not Bum, the son.
Wade.
Oh, I just forgot his first. Wade, thank you. Yes, Wade Phillips, thank you. Wade is coaching the defense. And anytime he gets his hands on a defense, they're going to get good. And they are. And, I mean, I watched some of the Rams game over the weekend. Trent, they actually had fans in the stands. I was shocked. I mean, people starting to show up now to watch the Rams. So, you know, maybe Stan Kroenke had figured it out. Once he gets his new stadium built, if you build it, they will come.
Well, and just think, on the other side, another guy that was on that Rams team a year ago, Case Keenum. And Jeff Fisher had both of those guys a year ago, couldn't win with them. Jeff Fisher, one of the most overrated coaches of NFL, certainly in the last 20, 25 years. And goes to show you, Jeff Fisher, you didn't like Goff, didn't like the young guy, tried to go with Keenum, couldn't find a way to win with him. A lot of times, those quarterback whispers, they are pretty important. You just see it year after year, and what the Rams are doing have been a great story. The Vikings have been a great story in terms of playoff positioning, seeding, getting that tiebreaker, absolutely huge. I'm looking forward to it, Jimmy B. Finally, a Sunday that matters. We haven't had many of those.
No, that is true. By the way, your team, Detroit, or I should say Detroit at Chicago.
Uh-huh.
You got any hope for your Bears or not?
No. Keep losing. You're not going anywhere. lose. Finish 3-13. Get a top-level draft pick. Go from there. It is a, it is a tradition unlike any other. They say it's the Masters. No,
yes.
It's the Chicago Bears and me hoping that they tank at the end of the season and improve their draft position. Welcome to my fandom, Jimmy B. It's a lot of fun.
I got you, pal. Cody Peck is coming up. BC Divide. We're going to dive into Iowa State basketball and football with Cody. Don't go anyplace. We continue till 6 o'clock on the Big Talker 1700.
Sunday night, Monday night, and Thursday night football from Westwood One, only on 1700 KBGG.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Brought to you by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
I have a very important announcement to make.
There's no party.
Jeff and I are having a baby.
Like a dynasty party.
Let's get charged up.
It's time to get a little crazy.
You have everything. I have nothing.
Get out! I'm
sorry! Shimmy
needs help.
This woman is unhinged.
It's settled. She's staying with us.
And make some bad decisions.
This is a terrible idea.
Dynasty, right after Riverdale. All new tonight, only on the CW.
The drama is on CW Iowa 23. Don't miss Dynasty, tonight at 8.
Hi, I'm Tabitha Coffey, TV personality and small business advisor. Many of the businesses I work with just need extra capital for things like remodeling or purchasing more products. That's where Cabbage comes in, with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/transform or 855-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 855-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun out in the sun here at Camp Sunnyside.
Learn more at EasterSealsIA.org.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Welcome back, Jimmy B and TC, as we take you up until 6 o'clock here this evening. Right now, time to talk Cyclones as we bring in our buddy from BCDivide.com. It is Cody Peck joining us. He has the Cyclone side. His brother Derek takes the Hawkeye side, and our conversation's presented by Murphy Tower Service. If you're in the market looking for a new job, looking to do something different, they have their apprenticeship program going on right now, looking for skilled people. Maybe you don't know a whole lot about, they can help you with that apprenticeship program and great starting wages. Check it out online, murphytower.com. What's going on, Cody?
Hey, fellas, what do you know?
Nothing. I know a whole lot of nothing. Jimmy B thinks he knows things. I know better than that. I don't know.
I'm not surprised.
Well, we got to start here after a disappointing loss in football, the one that got away, but I want to start on the hardwood. What happened Monday night against Milwaukee?
Holy smokes, guys. Talk about a complete letdown from this Iowa State basketball team. You know, it's not a season to where we were, you know, expectation-wise, we were coming into this season expecting a whole lot. You know, I told you guys last week I was expecting 6 to 8 Big 12 wins, and after that showing on Monday night, I'm going to pull back the reins a little bit and say that we'll be lucky to get 4 wins in the Big 12, gentlemen. That was a complete letdown by this Iowa State basketball team, and to do so at home for the first time in 20 years was the most disappointing part of that game.
I'm with you, and look, I couldn't believe really what I was seeing. Not only couldn't they shoot, they didn't defend. There was hardly any spacing on the court. They turned it over 18 times. This is, look, I know it's the second game, and I know that Steve Prohm is still trying to figure out combination. I get all of that. And Laird didn't play. Brace didn't play. Okay, I understand. But, Cody, you don't lose on your home court to Milwaukee, a team that's picked to finish near the bottom of the Horizon League.
No, Jimmy, you're absolutely right, man. I mean, an 18-point loss, I believe it was, to Milwaukee. And I don't care if Hans and Cameron would have played. I honestly don't think the outcome would have been different. The game would have been closer. But like you said, Jimmy, there was no spacing. There was zero ball movement out of the team. And where was Donovan Jackson? You know, we need somebody that's going to play aggressive basketball. You know, and somebody like him needs to step up to the plate and stop relying on these younger kids with no talent or experience in you know, Division I basketball. Come out ready to go from the get-go, and that's what it's going to take in this matchup they have tomorrow against a team that's, you know, 2-0. So definitely a letdown from Iowa State's standpoint. You know, the only person I really was impressed with, and I use that word lightly, was Zoran Kali. You know, he played a decent game for Iowa State. He was really the only one that showed any bit of aggressiveness offensively whatsoever. Jeff Beverly was kind of a shining point for me from the free throw line only, going 7-for-7. But, yeah, Donovan Jackson, Wigginton, Babb, you know, I think he led in minutes and maybe had, I believe he had 11 points. But just a complete dismantling from a Milwaukee team. And like I said, for them to do that at Hilton was, man, it was disheartening for sure.
No doubt. And now you look forward and you head down to Puerto Rico. You mentioned Appalachian State, the first game. That'll be happening, in fact, tomorrow afternoon during our program. And as you go through and you kind of piece this thing together, you're just left wondering what the expectations should be. You're talking about four wins in the Big 12. You go through the conference really outside of Iowa State and Oklahoma State. I think any of those other eight teams with the right breaks can certainly be an NCAA tournament team. The depth is going to be there. It is going to be a difficult road to hoe. Is the hope that Cameron Laird is everything that people have hoped that he can be, that he can come in right away, provide an impact? Hans Brace can be that fifth-year guy, and at the very least it can be an average team? Is that kind of the point that you're shooting for right now?
I think that's the hope, Trent. You know, Hans is going to come in. He's going to be more of a, you know, a team leader from a mental standpoint with his experience. There were times at that game the other night in Hilton where, you know, the players just looked like they were ticked off at each other. You know, they didn't look like they were having any fun whatsoever. And, you know, Cameron is going to come in, and he's going to be that rim presence down low. Him and Solomon should pair well together inside. But, you know, I just don't know if it's going to be enough. I really don't know. And it's something we're going to be able to tell here in the weeks to come. And this team they're playing tomorrow is no joke, guys. I mean, they played two no-name teams, but they put up 126 points and 135 points, respectively, in their first two games. So Coach Prohm preached the importance of playing, you know, stiff defense. And they're going to have to come out and do so tomorrow. You know, Trent, you mentioned the game's at 4:30. They're playing it down at Myrtle Beach. This isn't going to be a pushover game. And for this team to start out 0-3, there's going to be, you know, a lot of rumblings early and often for this program.
All right, now I'll be the naysayer here. Let's slow down here just a little bit, because the two teams that App State played, I've never ever heard of before. Tacoka?
They beat them by 100. They beat them by 100.
I know. Is that a high school or a grade school someplace? Come on. Look, I'm not buying that App State is that good. I think they've got two guys who shoot it pretty well, but you know, this is D1 basketball. You're supposed to have some studs. Now look, we've beat up Iowa State, and rightfully so, with the way that they played in that home appearance against a not very good Milwaukee team. But if they lose to App State and it's ugly. In other words, if they get beat like Milwaukee beat them and they still look stagnant and all out of sorts, there's going to be hell to pay, Cody.
Yeah, Jimmy, you're absolutely right, man. Just one more, you know, kind of funny stat after reading and looking at this App State team. They're averaging 65 rebounds per game. That's more than double Iowa State's average on the rebounding side of things. And you talk about, they got a guy named Ronshon Shabazz who's averaging over 25 points
a game
for them.
Guy.
He's going to be the guy that needs to get stopped. He's shooting 60% so far through their first two games. And, yeah, there's no doubt. You know, Jimmy, Iowa State is the favorite in this game tomorrow. So, you know, Vegas tends to agree with us that it's kind of a fluke that this team has beaten the team that they have by so much. But they're, you know, to beat a team by 101 points, my God, they're playing. Might as well be playing the Vinton School of the Blind.
Well, no, they were playing against me and Trent. That's who they were playing against.
Yeah.
Easy to post up against us. There's
yeah, yes. For sure.
Well, Cody, jumping over from the Cyclone basketball side to the football side of things, a quick peek back first with Oklahoma State, that disappointing end of things. I know a lot has been talked about and written about the interception or non-interception from many people's perspective. What was your takeaway from that, what turned out to be, for all intents and purposes, the final play?
Yeah, you know, guys, that last play of the game to me was, it's easy to look back on that now and kind of say, well, we should have done this, we should have done that. In the grand scheme of things, we were out of timeouts. We had 38 seconds left in the game. It was second down. you know, we still had an opportunity to run the ball. And you know, you go back to the whole Super Bowl with the Patriots and Seahawks, you know, and the Marshawn Lynch. Why the hell are they passing
it?
But give the ball to David Montgomery one more time. I mean, come on. You know, we're inside the five-yard line. Why are we not just running the ball one more time? And but yeah, in the grand perspective with all that that went down, whether it was an interception or a touchdown pass, my personal opinion, guys, is that however it was called, and I was telling Derek this, we were out in Vegas this past weekend watching, and I was telling him as the play was happening, I said, if that had been called a touchdown, it would have stand as it stood as a touchdown. But because it was called an interception on the field, that's the way that it stood. And, you know, that's unfortunate. I just wish we had thrown it up to a one of our taller receivers, and the ball wouldn't have been so underthrown.
Well, Trent and I both agreed that we thought it was an interception. Look, the ball was pinned against the defensive player's chest. So that's what the official sees, that it's on the defensive player's chest. Then when they go to the ground, that's when the ball eventually moves. So to me, the officials did indeed, in a bang-bang play, they got it correct. The thing that bothered me the most about it is, and I referenced this on the show, against Oklahoma, the defense gave up 31 points. Then they shut out Kansas, gave up 17 to Texas Tech, only gave up 7 to TCU. Look, I know Oklahoma's explosive offensively, but I did not expect, Oklahoma State rather, I did not expect the Cowboys to put 49 on them. I really didn't.
No, I'm with you, Jimmy. You know, what's crazy about that is, statistically speaking, in Iowa State's first six Big 12 games, Jimmy, they had only given up 24 second-half points. On Saturday, they gave up 28 second-half points to this Oklahoma State team. So it caught us all off guard. You're not the only one, for sure.
So with that, it's Baylor on tap next. Matt Campbell earlier this week during his press conference kind of talked about Baylor in terms that they were a year ago close, not able to knock down that door. Certainly, yeah, Baylor, they got the 1-9, and it feels like Baylor passed. But this is a team that still has plenty of talent around. They got some young guys out there. Brewer, their young quarterback, I thought he's looked impressive since I've seen him out on the field. This is one you can't sleepwalk through, and we'll see how Iowa State responds. Your thoughts on the Baylor matchup?
I think that's going to be, you know, our seniors are going to come out and lead this team to a good win, Trent. It's something where a couple years ago, this is a primetime game for Iowa State to go on the road and lay an egg, definitely. But not this year. You know, these guys have a bowl game in mind at this point. We can kind of flush the Big 12 championship down the toilet for right now and kind of focus on where we want to end up being towards the end of December as far as the bowl games are concerned. And we still have a great opportunity. You know, finish the season strong, get a win against Baylor, come out and beat K-State the following week. And you know, this team is uplifted pretty quickly in two games that they're going to be should be favored in. I know they're going to be favored over Baylor. It looks like 9.5 coming into Saturday. And this is a game where I think the guys will come down prepared, ready to play some ball and come out and make a statement that this season is no fluke.
One of the things that is kind of getting lost because the season just kind of exploded and everybody was on the bandwagon is the Joel Lanning story once again. This kid has played his way onto the Paul Hornung list as the best two-way player in the country. Where do you think this finally ends? And do you expect to see Lanning get quarterback plays against Baylor as well?
Yeah, you know, Jim, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, we all know the injury to Kyle Kemp, that he's battling some injury. He did practice today. And so I expect him to get some reps with Zeb again on Saturday. But we'll definitely see Lanning, I mean, at quarterback. You know, he's averaging 60, 70 possession or plays a game, you know, offensively, defensively, and special teams. And this is his, you know, a shining moment against Baylor. There's still a chance for him to be asked to come represent Iowa State and join the gentleman at the Heisman ceremony. Will he win it? Absolutely not. But what an honor, you know. And then you mentioned the Paul Hornung Award for the nation's best two-way player. And it's something where Joel is very deserving of that. And Iowa State is definitely making a push to get him to win that. If you've been paying attention at all to their social media accounts, I mean, they're tweeting, they're posting 3-4 times a day to encourage people to vote for him. And you couldn't ask for somebody that's more deserving than Joel Lanning.
Well, over at bcdivide.com, I was reading your article, a recruiting update on the football side of things. And basically right after it's updated, they pick up a commitment from Valik Carter. What can you tell us about him?
Well, Valik's a tough defensive back. He's got quickness. You know, he's averaged, I think what they, I read this morning, Trent, he's had 7, 11, 14, I mean, 14 and then 9 interceptions in his 4 years of high school football. That's unbelievable statistics from a young man. He's a 3-star recruit. He's going to be a guy that, you know, passed up a few off other offers on the table, some smaller schools, but he's the typical kid that Matt Campbell and this coaching staff are going to bring in. They're going to mold into a heck of a defensive back. And so I'm excited. I really am. Coach Campbell has done a great job so far recruiting this season and adding Velike Carter, man. It's another impressive recruit for Coach Campbell and the boys up in Ames to grab.
Cody Peck is our guest, BC Divide. It's a great website for both Iowa State and Iowa Hawk fans. Cody, I'm staying with the recruit situation. Where do you think that they are right now on their recruiting? How do you, I know you can't put a letter grade on it yet, but are you pretty jacked up with the players that they now have saying yes?
Yeah, Jimmy, I am ecstatic. I'm pumped. You know, we've had a great class. And it's not just the guys that, you know, we all hear the Real Mitchells of the world, the gentleman coming out of St. John Bosco out of California. Everyone's heard of Real. It's guys that are lesser known guys that are your 3-star recruits that are coming in that fit the mold, Jim. It's not the guys that, you know, that are undersized. These guys have long arms. You know, they're lengthy kids that are being overlooked by some Division I programs that, you know, the higher, you know, the Alabamas of the world. But, you know, Coach Campbell and his staff up there have done a phenomenal job really piecing together the parts. And it's special teams as well. One of the guys I've been most impressed with, and I've been following him all season long through his high school career, unfortunately came to an end last week down in Arizona, but he's a gentleman by the name of Braden Narveson. He's the number one kicker in the state of Arizona, and he's coming up to Ames. And, you know, that's one thing that Iowa State has never truly had. You know, credit to our kickers this year, Park, and then obviously Cole Netton in the last few years. We've been kind of lucky, but prior to that, you know, we had a real bad run with kickers and special team players. And so I'm excited to get Braden up on campus as well and see what kind of an impact he can have on this Iowa State football team.
Looking forward to the game on Saturday. It's Baylor recruiting updates and a whole lot more. It's bcdivide.com, both the black and the cardinal side of things, Hawkeye and Cyclones. Today, Cody on the Cyclones. As always, Cody, thanks for your time. We'll do it again next week.
All right, fellas, have a good night.
That is our man, Cody Peck, checking in here. Again, our conversations with the guys from BC Divide, presented by Murphy Tower Service in Carlisle. The apprenticeship program going on right now. They're taking applications for their telecommunications tower technician apprenticeship. Starting experience, earn while you learn, starting at $16 an hour during the program. Not going to find a better apprenticeship than that. It is Murphy Tower Service. Jimmy B., we got one more segment to go. Are you ready to roll out of here?
I'm ready, man. I've been in the weight room. I've swum probably about 10 laps before I came in for the show today. I am pumped up.
Well, it's better you smell like chlorine than the booze from the night before, so I guess we'll take that. We'll come back. Put a cap on things on the other side. It's Jimmy B and TC.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We continue here to the top of the hour. Jimmy B and TC right here on the Big Talker 1700. Look, last night, and you and I have discussed it already on the program, but we got treated to a doubleheader of college basketball that was sensational, including the play of Duke's Grayson Allen. Is there anything that would float your boat tonight on TV that you will absolutely positively take a look at?
Well, it's a Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Boy, yes, all day. Yeah.
This week is flying by. Well, that means Maction, right? In November, this is what we get. It's Maction time. So it could dip in there. College basketball isn't great tonight. There's anything really jumping off the page on that one. I don't know. Is there anything NBA-wise, NHL, anything at all? Because tell you what, Jimmy B., I got a babysitter tonight. My little sister is watching Ella. So we got a date night. So to be honest, sports are taking a back seat. Don't get many of these nights. I don't know what we're going to do yet, but we're going to do something with an open evening. They're very, very rare in a household with a 2-year-old.
I understand that perfectly. Look, here's what you will miss. You will miss your team, the Minnesota T-Wolves, hosting the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh.
So, yeah. Yeah, not a bad game. I'd take her to like a sports refreshment stand and ask them to put that game on.
Yeah, she puts up.
Hey, honey, we're going for wings. We're going for wings tonight.
We might take a step up from that. We might decide to do that. Maybe have a good Italian dinner at Bellagio. Go that route. Hit a movie afterwards.
There you go.
Something along those lines. But yeah, and when you said that, I was hoping maybe that'd be. Yeah, you know, though we're in the central time zone and San Antonio is as well, a lot of times they have those late windows that they play. Not the case tonight. It'll be 7 o'clock for the T-Wolves.
7 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. Your crappy NBA, Chicago, Oklahoma City, gross. Cleveland, Charlotte, no. Late night, Philly, Lakers, I don't know there. Jimmy B, I'm just not sure. I think
I think you picked the right night to go out, man.
Yes.
I really do. Yeah.
College basketball tonight. Yeah. Just started a little bit ago. Indiana Seton Hall. Indiana got blitzed by the Sycamores. Minnesota, my team. Hey, the Gophers are in action against Niagara and Little Ricky. Niagara's 1-0. No, I don't think that's going to do anything. But yeah, it's a kind of a crappy night for sports, Jimmy B.
Yeah, that's what I said. You hit the mother load here. You won't have to be looking over your shoulder for anything big time. You can have your full attention with the little woman. That'll be fine. That'll make her happy. I know that.
I got a question for you, Mr. Brinson. So, in a night like this, where there isn't anything compelling on, you got an evening where you can watch whatever you want on TV. You know, old movies aside, I know you probably love, I don't know, Casablanca and stuff like that from when you were growing up. But for things that are on now, at a night like this, what grabs your attention? What do you watch? Ken was telling me the other day that he really likes watching animal shows, like when the animals are out there and they're hunting and killing each other. He likes that, which isn't surprising. We both know Ken. Yeah, it kind of fits him. So what do you go to? What do you gravitate to when sports isn't on the television?
When I'm not really interested in anything, I might throw in like an old DVD of an MC Hammer concert.
Get out of here. You're such a dork.
No, I'm serious. Yeah. And it just kind of reminds me of my glory days when I could wear those pants.
Those were not your glory days. You were past your glory days at that point. No, seriously. It's a serious question.
No, I probably will snoop around HBO and see what they've got on. That's probably what I'll do. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing here. First thing I'll do is when we're done here tonight is I'm going to go to the gym and get my workout in.
Okay.
And then I'll clean up, grab some food, and then probably park at some place and just watch a movie or two. I might do that.
Okay, so nothing too wild. You're more of a movie guy. So you gravitate to movies. I don't watch movies.
I can't stand commercials anymore.
Well,
I can't.
That's not good for our business, Jimmy B.
Well, no, I know that. No, on TV, I'm talking about when you're at home and you want to watch the show, and they show you 5 minutes of the show and then 8 minutes of commercial time. So that's why I probably gravitate then to the movie channels.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I like comedies. There aren't many that I watch anymore. When I'm going to bed, what I put on, I tell you, I watch Jeopardy every night. Tara and I always watch Jeopardy every night. So that's part of our rotation. And I watch The Simpsons still. And I'll flip on FXX and whatever Simpsons episode is on. I'll flip that on as I fall asleep and put on the sleep timer. That's kind of what I have revved up, and that's what I watch. But TV anymore, I don't have many shows that we watch very often. The shows that we do have on the DVR, we're so behind on. I've gotten so far away from actual TV shows and movies anymore. I don't know movies of the last 5 to 7 years, I'd guess. I've probably been in a theater during that time watching something that I want to watch 5 times over the last 5 years. That might be high. It might be 3 times over the last 5 years. So maybe we'll try to change that tonight. Is there anything good in movie theaters right now?
Didn't the Thor movie came out, and I think also the new one Justice League is coming out from Marvel.
Okay.
With Wonder Woman, Batman, those guys. And the Jason Momoa guy, the guy who's from
Jason
Norwalk. Yeah, he's from Norwalk.
Who's Jason Momoa?
Are you kidding? This guy's a star.
How do you spell Momoa?
I think it's M-A-M-O-A, I believe. Momoa.
M-O-M-O-A. Yeah. Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
He was born August 1st, 1979.
In Hawaii.
Oh, he's in a bunch of those.
Spend his time in Iowa. Yeah, spend his time in Iowa.
Well,
yeah.
See, I'm
just not a pretty face here. I know stuff.
I've never heard of that. Well, I don't watch movies with, comic book movies either. So maybe that's a problem. But yeah, look at that. Unbelievable.
He's in Game of Thrones.
Huh, never seen it. Never seen Game of Thrones.
Oh my God.
I live a very simple life, don't I?
It is
sports, and that is about it.
That's about it. Jason, we got to complicate
Momoa.
You up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, here I am.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I did catch on Comedy Channel Jeff Dunham one night, and I love Ahmed the Dead Terrorist. I love that character.
I don't know what you're talking about there either.
You have no clue, do you, what I'm talking about?
I know Jeff Dunham. He's the puppet guy, right?
That's correct.
All right,
yes.
All right. So I'm getting that figured out.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, yeah. Ahmed the Dead Terrorist is his funniest guy.
All right, so I'm looking right now over at Century 20 Theaters in Jordan Creek. We'll give them a free plug. So they have going on this evening, Daddy's Home 2, Murder on the Orient Express. Never heard
supposed
of it.
To be really good.
Is
supposed
it?
To be really good. Yeah.
A thriller. LBJ.
Uh-huh. Interesting, yeah.
Let There Be Light. It sounds awful.
I don't have a clue.
Thor Ragnarok? Is that how you say
that's
that?
That's it. That's
it. Nope.
Yep, that's the one.
That's not going to happen.
Not,
no.
You're not interested in Thor?
No.
In Thor?
No, I'm going to be with the wife. She doesn't want to watch that garbage. Get out of here.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Bad Moms Christmas? There's a comedy. Bad Moms was funny, so all right.
Yeah.
She might be going with her lady friends, though, to watch that. You know how that goes.
I would think so.
Jigsaw, a horror movie. Thank you for your service. Boo to a Madea Halloween. Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Geostorm. Only the Brave. That looks long. No, thanks.
Geostorm's like another disaster movie.
A Killing of a Sacred Deer. What in the world? Wonderstruck. I haven't heard of these. Blade Runner 2049. There's a new Blade Runner movie. I don't know. My Little Pony.
That's Harrison Ford's remake. Yeah, man.
Where have you been? I have no idea.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling. Yeah, Harrison Ford. Blade Runner. Yeah.
We're going to stay away from that. My wife's got a thing for Ryan Gosling, so we need to stay. Well, maybe not.
Maybe not. You might, it might get her excited after you get done.
Revved up. Oh, and this is great, Jimmy B.
Okay.
7 o'clock tonight in West Des Moines, they are playing Casablanca, the 75th anniversary of it. Jimmy B., take me back to 1942 when that movie came out. Just how excited people were and the smash hit that it was.
I was about 45 then, and Bogey was really in his prime.
Bogey.
Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Bogey, man. It's Bogey.
Sure.
Yeah.
You were buddies?
He was really in his... Yeah, we hung.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
He was really in his prime at that time.
I've never seen it. Should I see it? No, honestly.
You should.
Yeah.
No, in all honesty, yes. It is a classic. Absolute classic.
It says on their website, luxury lounger recliners. Oh, I could really lay back here.
Yeah.
Except I'd be shelling out big money. And, well, I learned my cheapness, I think, from you. That sounds a little expensive to me.
Well, at least something good of mine rubbed off on you.
Well, a crap night of sports and a crap final segment as we're talking anything but sports. But here we are. We're done, Jimmy B. It's time for date night.
It's a good thing.
Yes. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Be good, Jim.
Later. We're out of here, folks, right here on the Big Talker 1700.